Guess who's back?
Oh, man.
Back again. Pitt like, is back.
Like a horrible Eminem song.
Tell a friend.
It never ends.
Two Trailer Park Girls go around the outside. Around the outside. Around the outside.
Fantastic.
That all we got?
I don't know.
That's it. All right, folks. That's just the podcast this week. It's, no, just kidding. It's exciting.
Number 8 in the nation, yeah.
8 and 9.
Big time.
Depending on the poll.
This is some real college football now.
I know. Can you believe it? Finally.
We're getting close to the big goal. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we can thank Notre Dame for blowing that big game for us next week, but, you know, we're still going to crush them.
You know what, though? If you're going to put a game for Wanstead with a lot of hype on it, I'm glad that there's less hype on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's just
say... Path of least resistance is the one I
want to
take.
Exactly. Year. I want Cincy to lose the rest of the games. I want Notre Dame to lose the rest. I want everybody just to lose so we can just go in there and steamroll people without having to really work hard for anything.
I could deal with a lot of games like the Syracuse game after the second quarter if that wants to happen. Because I don't like close games. I don't like watching games that are close. I don't enjoy the...
I don't get people who do when they're like, "Oh man, I just hope it's a good competitive game."
I don't
like
not me.
I want
not
Pitt to be up by 50 at the end of the first quarter.
I'd much rather not be competitive at all.
Let somebody else's team play a close
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Yeah. Let you know the greats like Oklahoma. They can play their close games.
Let Ole Miss play a close game. Speaking of greats,
lose me some more money. Ole Miss, you suck.
Hey, Notre Dame got you yesterday.
Yeah, they did. I don't know why I put them on that parlay.
So they're playing Navy. Everybody beats Navy.
Yeah, well...
We forgot Navy's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, they are.
They took Ohio State to the brink, and then they beat Notre Dame. Obviously, Navy is back.
You find out yesterday, like, how weak and how overhyped Notre Dame was. I mean, they get all this credit for playing close with USC, a down USC team. And just like I told you on the post on Thursday... Oregon is not going to be a factor in the final.
You said on the podcast on Friday, yeah. You said that Stanford was going to beat them, and they beat them.
They're not. Those Pac-10 teams are all kind of the same. None of them are that great, so they beat up on each other all over the place. Like whenever you play, when you're playing a Pac-10 road game and you're a Pac-10 team, you're done. You're done. A tough road game, and they're just going to quit. Just like Oregon did, just like USC did twice.
Didn't help that Javid Best got concussed and his arm went stiff.
That was crazy looking. I don't enjoy watching people get hurt, but I do enjoy when weird stuff happens when they're knocked out.
Like the dude that got hit with the golf ball and his penis became erect.
Well, crazy stuff happening to you when you're knocked out. It's always funny to be like pooping on yourself. It's always funny.
Rule number one in life, don't get hurt.
Exactly.
No TBIs.
Yeah.
That's traumatic brain injury.
I was going to say, what a TBI? Some sort of infection?
UTI.
Yeah. <that's> not...
Let's talk about Syracuse. Boring game of football in the first half. We were playing too tight in that
Like I was talking to Dave earlier about, it's like we somehow drag these weird offensive performances out of teams that, like, we can't move the ball and they can't move the ball, and it's just like a war of attrition, and then then it breaks open for us. It's very weird.
It really happened at the end of the second quarter whenever Greg Williams intercepted and
ran that was back the big play. That was like the break open point.
It was good stuff, though, because up until that point it was 6-3, and I was like, this is not good.
Can't be handling those low scoring games.
Then we came out and just shut it down on them,
which is what you have to do. I mean, we can't play close with a team like Syracuse because they could come and bite us and get a big upset. And now we're not sneaking up on anybody, so everybody knows it's coming. So those games are gonna be closer. Plus the style, just the way we play, makes games a little close,
right?
For my liking, but
pro style offense.
Yeah, I mean, we just gotta take that, but. I thought we put in a real good performance after that point.
Yeah, the team played well.
Everything was working for us, like, you know, all over the place. And
the thing that stood out to us, and we were mentioning all game long, was just how Malecki and Nix were just killing.
They're killed. You can make a case that they both should be all Big East players. Like, what Nix has given our running game is we run at Nix every single, like, every time we get a big game, it's almost always the Nix and Malecki side. They're just moving the pile in the running game, and they're not having that many problems in the passing game either. So We're getting enough push to basically dictate the style of play we want to do. So the philosophy is actually working because we have the personnel to do it now, and that we're not making the costly mistakes that killed us like they always did.
Absolutely,
of the last 3 years, like those sort of bonehead plays are disappearing in our game, and it's pretty impressive. It's like, I mean, we're still, you know, next 3 weeks still tell what the season's going to be, but. the fact that we've gotten so much, you know, we've done so well after losing the game to NC State is pretty impressive.
That's right.
It's a very resilient team. But that's always, I will say this, it's always been a staple of Wonstadt. Like, teams can come back from just playing horrible and then turn it around and maybe win a big game or two.
Right.
But, you know, a win's a win against Syracuse, and that's all that matters. And
yeah, the team
our final goal's still there.
Yeah, the team finally looked, you know, like it's, you know, like we've been hoping it's been to look like.
We're starting to look like our ranking now. Like, we're starting to look like a team that should be mentioned up there in college football.
That's right. I hope that our radio station starts playing ads saying, "Hey there, Penn State fans. Holy moly, can you believe it? You lost to Ohio State. The same Ohio State team that was shut up by Purdue."
Yeah, it's like, you knew that was happening too yesterday. It was just, the Big Ten, they're all terrible. They're just like the Pac-10. Except they're all worse than the Pac-10. So, like,
everyone in the Big Ten sucks this year.
They beat up on each other, and then, like, you know, you have the great Iowa, who was hanging on by a thread the entire year, playing all these other crap teams in the Big Ten. They finally got their number.
You know what's funny is it's funny the perception that's attached. If Pitt would have won all their games by 3 points, everybody would be talking about, oh, Pitt's in the Big East, they're not that good, they're just getting lucky. I was winning all their games real close. No, man, they're the comeback kids. They know how to win games late.
Well, like I said, we all signed a contract apparently that I wasn't aware of, where we're supposed to pretend that those teams are good just because they're traditional powers. They're not good, and they're gonna lose. Like, they're gonna lose games to each other, and that's what happens.
Think about this now: we have in the top 25 four Big East teams. In the top 10, we have two Big East teams. After starting this season without one single team ranked.
You got to, there's a point, we're getting to a point now that there's a legitimate argument that there might be two Big East BCS teams. There might be an at-large team from the Big East.
If Pitt wins out, and since he's only losses to us, there has to be no reason why.
It's got to be Cincy and Pitt, yeah. And this is like the perfect year for the way we're playing and stuff. Perfect year. Everything's down. There's no super teams. Right. We kind of find our slot right below the top three. And then, you know, work from there. Maybe get a huge bowl game, get a lot of money into the program, get some national exposure. Maybe that'll help with recruiting and everything.
Absolutely. And the only way this would break bad would be if we beat Cincy and they get jobbed out of a BCS bid, and then somehow we get stuck in the Sugar Bowl against the SEC runner-up.
Yeah, which would not be good.
Like either Florida or Alabama, which is no fun.
No, we don't want that. That's
nobody
not,
wants
that's
that.
Not something we, that's not something we could deal with. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, we're a top 10 team. We're playing like a top 10 team. Both sides of the ball are getting good. You know, we're fine. We're peaking too. We're playing well when we should. Next week will tell us a lot more. Next week will tell us a lot more about what type of team this is. I mean, Notre Dame's not great, but they're probably the most legitimate team we've played this year.
They're another team that just kind of like us. They play to their opponents. You know, sure, USC is down, but USC is still USC, and they almost beat them. Same token, they should have lost to Michigan State. They did lose to Michigan, who's awful.
Yeah.
We beat down Navy, and Navy took it to them. We have a much better defense than Navy, too.
Oh, yeah, way better.
Notre Dame's offense, now that they just lost their starting tight end for the year,
yeah.
You know, if hopefully the problems we saw earlier in the season don't come back to bite us, because we cannot afford to have Barry and Chappelle getting burned all game by Floyd and Tate.
They're kind of their backs are against the wall, too, because, you know, they got to try to get that Gator Bowl game.
Yeah, they lose this game, they're not going to get it, because that means there's no tiebreaker they get over. Because
that's their big thing now. And then, you know, Weiss is probably playing for his job right now, because I don't see how they keep him if they're, you know, the University of College Football. They can't be, you know, they can't be losing those games like that.
Yep.
And he's lost twice to Navy.
Hey, they're not losing to the Pitts or Michigan State.
Yeah, they're losing to the Navies of the world now.
Hey, it's easy to win when you have Ty Willingham's talent.
Yeah. You want to talk about a guy who deserves all of what happens to him? It's so arrogant.
That whole fan base deserves.
It's stupid office chair. He leans in when he's doing his press conferences. Like, it's like that little move just infuriates me. It's just so like it's so like you know, forget you. I do what I want. I'm too fat to sit in a regular chair. Hate him. But I mean, I'm not super confident, but. You like I don't see how we won't be able to play with pretty much any team. Like the three teams we play the rest of the season. I mean, we should be favored in two of the games.
Worst case scenario, we finish 1-2 and have the same record as last year.
Yeah,
after losing our two best players.
Yeah, and I would say like now, like as long as we as long as we can get, I mean, I think 2-1 would be pretty miraculous, and I think you'd have to take it. You know, I just hope we put in good performances these next 3 weeks at worst. I mean, if we get, especially against Cincy, because that's going to be like the glory game of the conference. Like everything, you know, the conference is basically going to, it's going to be like the first sort of explosion of the Big East that people are going to see.
The shame with that is it's not going to be a night national television game, because you have the other conference championship game.
Yeah, and it's going to be a little like, but it's basically going to be a de facto conference title game.
It's whoever Texas is going to beat up on that day.
Yeah, and then it's going to be like, but at least we'll say like, look at these two teams in the Big East. Look how far the Big East has come in, you know, a short time with the new conference setup. And you know, everybody always says if the Big East is ever going to be like seen as great, we had to become really good. Because that's the team that people would look at in the conference.
Right. And they know us as being historically the traditional best
power.
Team
yeah, conference. That's the traditional power from the conference. So us getting good is only going to help the Big East.
Right. Now, if West Virginia wasn't run by a bunch of retards,
I don't know how they keep Bill Stewart. Like, you know, he's recruiting well, but like, it doesn't matter because he's a horrible head coach. Like, he's driving him into the ground. But
we gave him the blueprint on how to beat South Florida. He said, nope, not using it. We're going to win with West Virginia football.
I still think he's sort of, he got lucky that they played that bowl game and the other team didn't care as much.
Yeah, if they would have lost that game, he would never had that job.
Yeah, I think that's the key for a team like, for a Big East team, is that we might catch teams that are on like a letdown in those big bowls, and we can go and sneak in and steal a big win.
Yeah, say we get like a Florida after they lose to Alabama,
they're not going to care. And because those teams always have trouble when they lose and have to play in another BCS game because they just don't care.
That's how Boise State won.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. Like Oklahoma just didn't show up that game, and we're not Boise State. People aren't going to take us lightly.
Well, last year Utah.
Yeah, again, same thing. Utah murdered Alabama.
Alabama just looked disinterested. They lost Andre Smith. Saban packed it in.
Yeah, but, you know.
Although when we played Utah, Urban Meyer was playing for something.
Yeah, put an entire new offense in a month. But, yeah, I mean, it's looking up to be a Panther fan. It's you feel sort of glad that we've stuck around through it all, and, you know, we'll finally get a little bit of a reward.
We've sat through some bad times.
Sat through some very bad games. A lot of times, even this season, where it didn't seem like we were ever going to break through, but we're almost there.
Right, yeah. And playing UConn close, you know, you saw these question marks on the team, but the team
should if that comeback wouldn't happen against UConn, I would hate to know what this season would look like now. Because I think that was like the precipice of where we could have went either way.
Right. We were like Britney Spears a couple years ago. We were one potato chip away. Luckily, she went on that all celery diet, and so did Pitt.
There we go.
No, but it looks good. Dion had another good game, 110 yards and a touchdown. Still making some noise there.
He'll probably end up breaking, getting over Shady.
He's gonna get a bunch of records.
Probably a little bit below Tony D in the end. Like I think he'd still have to get like another 500 yards or 400 yards. Right. So.
It's gonna be interesting too to see who gets Big East offensive player of the year, because for a while it looked like Pike, but now Caleros is coming in, putting up the same numbers, and since they're going to be kind of split,
I think there's a chance that he's definitely he's got to win offensive player of the year because of his numbers, and
you talking about Dion?
Dion, because Dion's been the most dominant player in the Big East offensively by far. I mean, he's you know the best player in the conference. He might be the best player in the conference all around, but the thing I look for with Dion is he might be All American, like a second team All American.
That would be nice as a freshman.
As a freshman, yeah,
absolutely.
As a true freshman coming in and winning, you know, getting that far, and you can just tell like his style of running. His style of running is working well too. Like he's not breaking down at all. What I thought for sure, because since we were giving him so many carries, that he was going to start slowing down, but he hasn't.
Right.
That's good. It's very good.
Very durable. Hitting that weight room.
Here we go.
Ugh. So, coming up for Notre Dame, what are you expecting this week? What do you think? A lot of passes?
I would think Notre Dame is going to try to beat us the exact way that that teams like Rutgers were successful throwing the ball. Tate's going to be touching the ball every single down, pretty much. Floyd's going to get a lot of touches. It's going to be if our defense can stand up to the pass, if we can get enough pressure on Clawson to make him make mistakes, because he will make mistakes if you get in his face. And we should be able to steamroll their defense. We should be able to walk right through them.
Right. They cannot stop the run.
They cannot stop the run, and we're going to give them a healthy dose of Deion. So, I mean, not even, like, looking at the game. Just, like, I would say, just as of right now, I think we should probably, you know, maybe a touchdown or two touchdown favorite.
Okay.
Because, like, I just can't see Notre Dame getting, spiraling back out of that game they lost this week. And they're going to be down, and this is going to be an easy chance for them to pack it in. Because they're playing a good team, and a good team's going to attack them. So basically, you know, we're gonna get to that West Virginia game, I think, at 9-1. So, you know, give them something to try to take away from us.
Right, we took it from them. They're going to be eager to.
It's really good. It's really good to have everything to lose. Like I said, it's very good to have everything to lose.
We haven't felt this in football for 26 years.
No, yeah, it's very nice to have your own. You know, you can basically play your own destiny. Instead of the usual.
Play for your own fate, not for your own destiny. Destiny's predetermined.
I hate you. I sincerely hate you.
Literary master.
Go play Mafia Wars some more.
Hey, I'm really good at that game. It's taking up my time now that kickball season's over. Don't laugh. Kickball's awesome.
Playing kickball in the cold weather. like
bunch of it was nice the last couple of weeks.
A bunch of crazy people.
Hey, we were supposed to make the playoffs. It's 22 degrees.
Let's play this. Let's play this game for children.
It's fun. Maybe we could create a cat basket kickball
I'm
team.
I'm not playing.
Live by Captain Jason Jones.
I'm not playing. I refuse to play kickball.
That's no fun.
I'm a gentleman. I don't play kickball.
Maybe dodgeball and basketball, too.
I'm not even good at basketball anymore. I'd embarrass myself. All my skills eroded. So years of
building back up.
Years of sloth and the drinking is taken over. I'm probably not good at anything now compared to.
You're good at predicting. You were only 3 points off on each team for the prediction. You said what, 34-7?
Yeah, it was. I was pretty close.
You were very, very close.
I know what I'm doing. And by knowing what I'm doing, I get lucky. I don't know what I'm doing at anything.
Syracuse was impressive. They looked completely different than they did last year. You know, last year they looked like a team that had no clue what was going on in football. And Marone's a decent coach thus far. We'll have to see if he can bring it still.
I think there's a lot of things you have to undo at Syracuse to get that team good, you know what I mean? And I think that there's the slow process of changing the culture in Syracuse is going to be
suspending 16 players for the game.
That's for down the line. He doesn't want that to become a problem.
Show him his boss.
Yeah. I'd say 3 years Syracuse is probably going to be competitive in the Big East.
They won't be able to knock off Pitt though.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think that they're like a level below the top of the Big East.
The bad thing for them is they don't have a recruiting.
They'll probably exist somewhere above UConn, like a little bit above what UConn is.
Yeah. New York just has no talent.
Well, and Syracuse was really good when they actually was a big time competitive team. I mean, that was a long time ago, and it's like it takes a while. It takes a while to get any success if you've been bad for so long. So, you know. Everything's looking up for the Big East. Teams are getting better.
Yeah, I want to hear the talking heads mention about how the ACC is garbage, the Big Ten is garbage, the Big 12 minus Texas
is sort of garbage. The sort of argument that like the ACC is good because of the parity because they all beat up on each other. It's BS. People aren't looking at college football through objective glasses when they talk about it. I know Pitt's a lot in the world. You know what I mean? We're not a national title team, but we are a team that's. Should be in the BCS, you know, the BCS talk, you know, get one of the lower bowls. And it's like, we're not like the blowaway team that, you know, people pretend that teams in the Big Ten are. I mean, what's the hard team? What's the hard team? Like, what's the good team in the Big Ten now?
There's none. There's Pitt none. Could I mean, every single team.
Pitt
in the
could
Big
easily
Ten.
Be every single team. We could beat every single team on the road in the Big Ten.
Right. But they get 115,000 fans.
I don't care if they get 3 million people in their stands. They're still garbage. It's a decaying conference with too many old coaches that are like that don't change. If I was Ohio State, I would sincerely think about trying to get rid of Tressel after the way they've played this year. I mean, look, they swung back and beat Penn State, but in the end, that doesn't mean anything.
Penn State sucks.
Penn State does suck. Last year was very much a. I think last year was had a lot to do with the way that their schedule played out.
And they had a ton of seniors. Like they had an all senior offensive line. The defensive backs were all.
Yeah,
seniors.
And they had all those playmakers on offense that made up for Clark being a mediocre quarterback.
Royster looks like garbage this year too.
Royster's a crap player. That's why. it's but We'll never get the credit because we don't have honks on TV like Herb Street blowing sunshine up our butts every time they talk about us. You know, we get Cincinnati right now is as good as any team in the country, not a Texas or
Florida or Texas Alabama.
Florida. I mean, yeah, Texas, Florida, Alabama. And there's I wouldn't take any other team. I would take UC over like I don't know USC, like any sort of top 10 team that's not those three at the top. It's like the Big East has become more than competitive. This is a conference where people play. We play out of conference games against hard teams. I mean, we don't because we have horrible scheduling because our athletics department's not very good.
We have the 11th toughest schedule in the country.
Yeah, but sort of that comes like you
just smell, saying the though, smell the numbers test, are like, there. The numbers are there.
Yeah, but the smell test shows. But
you look at every other school; they'll maybe play one tough game and then play three patsies. We played.
We gotta stop.
Three okay teams.
We gotta stop playing FCS teams though.
That will never happen.
We have to stop playing. Never happen. We have to stop playing.
There's not enough teams that are willing to take 1-1 to give you that seventh home game, which is what every school wants. And that's why you have to bring in teams. If you're gonna bring them in, make them fun teams. Bring in Grambling again. I would love to see Grambling's band.
It's
not gonna change unless they say it is illegal to play seven FCS teams. Yeah. Unless maybe you have a standing rivalry, which we do with Youngstown State, according to Jeff Long. So we're in good shape there.
The Penguin. I don't get it. You know me. I'm all about take a 1-1 where you have to go away. Like I like the Utah game next year. Big fan of that.
Boise State's offering up a 1-and-done away.
I would take that. I would take that in a second because we're getting to the point now where we have to have marquee wins because we're gonna start having a really good record and those marquee wins help. You know, people see you on TV. We got to get on TV more. Right. Maybe the level of recruit we can get will up a little bit if we're on TV more.
Boise stuff's a tough game though, because even if you beat them, people are gonna say, "Oh, they're Boise State."
Yeah, you're right. It's like a lose-lose situation.
But they're a very good team.
Yeah, but I mean, still, if you go out there and win, that's gonna be a good win on paper. Right. But
still
all those things are
1-1 with UNLV.
The running rebels.
I want to go to Vegas.
Running rebels
or extend Buffalo again because I love Niagara Falls.
I want to go on Chippewa Street and stare at some hot chicks again.
Let's make it a 4-4.
4-4. As long as I don't eat chicken wings again, the buffalo wings.
Well, don't get the atomic ones. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Those are disappointing.
The spicy barbecue ones were fantastic, but even those are very, very hot. They're good though. They're good. Make your mouth burn a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
The atomic ones look like they were just pepper though. Like they're almost black. It's like why would you do that?
It was tons of pepper. It wasn't very good.
Maybe the mild would probably be the best. Throw yourself some ranch dressing on there. Well, they can keep the celery.
In a million years, I wouldn't need ranch dressing. It's so gross. Don't like ranch dressing, and I know our listeners are going to go crazy because everybody loves ranch dressing in Western Pennsylvania.
Fantastic. Ranch dressing is fantastic. That's why you love ketchup. That's a very Pittsburgh thing.
Yeah.
But you hate ranch dressing.
Yeah.
You can put ranch dressing on anything. You put on pizza crust, french fries, tacos, cereal, whatever you want, it's good.
You're a crazy person.
It's fantastic.
You are a crazy person.
Oh, come on. It's good stuff.
Ugh.
Don't say ugh.
Saw a good night of MMA last night.
Hey.
Strikeforce.
Jason Miller's the man.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor, everybody. Go watch Mayhem's... Go watch his Dream 7 entrance.
Dream 9. Go on YouTube, type in Mayhem Miller Dream 9. You will love it. Dude is an entertainer.
He's the man.
He might suck at MMA.
He doesn't suck at MMA. He's not super great.
He's losing all these fights, though. He's lost his, last two now?
Doesn't matter. He'll fight forever because he's...
entertaining.
Because he's entertaining, he doesn't take a lot of damage. Like, he doesn't get knocked out, so...
Yeah, that was a pretty boring fight last night.
Well, Scott Smith's pretty boring, in general.
But I'll tell you what, though. He also is the host of Bully Beatdown. I've only seen clips of it, but...
On one of the shows, they the bully actually beat the MMA fighter.
Did he really?
The MMA fighter's horrible, and the bully beat him.
How'd he get him? Did he catch him with a...
No, I think they beat him on, points.
Oh, okay. Well, that sucks. Poor kid getting picked on, didn't get to see his bully get beat on. Why can't they have Rampage show up and fight him?
Rampage put his head through a door. Like in the altar fight today.
Dude, that's the best show. Eric, he's calling him titties.
Who don't love titties? That guy gets so mad. But he knows he can't do anything. Rampage murder him if they start fighting.
I hope he can convince Dana to give him a fight between him because it would be a 5-second knockout. Everybody go online, make yourself some money.
Oh, he'd have to He's like, I'll cut the 205 and fight you. There ain't no way you can cut the 205, fatty.
So you do not eat for 5 months?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
And then live in a garbage bag?
Drop like 60 pounds. I was like, live in a garbage bag.
That's how you cut weight. You sit in your car, you turn the heater on, you just get it way too hot, and you put garbage bags around your body to cut weight. You got to eat potassium.
They sit in the sauna, like the steam room and stuff. That's got to hurt so much.
Ugh, I can imagine just getting dehydrated.
And your kidneys fail on you, and then you're done.
As long as you make your weight. Unless you're Anthony Rumble Johnson.
I'm too big. I can't play. I'm sorry. They take like a quarter of your money if you don't make weight.
But they still let you fight.
Yeah. Well, the guys do agree to fight you. To
okay.
Weight.
I would say no.
Yeah, you can't do that, though. Can you? Like,
Yoshida you never should have said no. He wouldn't have lost it.
Boom, boom, boom. Rumble got a semi-main event, too. Like, he's getting, like, rewarded for it.
Yeah, I know. He's fighting again next week.
Josh Koscheck. I hate Josh Koscheck. He's from Waynesburg. He's the Clarion, I think.
Really? Yeah. So he's a local guy.
He's an a-hole, though.
You all root for him. He's from Western Pennsylvania.
He's an a-hole.
Listen, you all root for him. You're from here, too. You all put Pittsburgh in everything you do. You better wear black and gold trunks.
Trunks. I was wondering why MMA fighters never use fighting wrestler panties. Like
the booty shorts. Fedor's were almost booty shorts.
Yeah, Fedor loves the short shorts. Fedor's shorts are always way too offensively short.
He's Russian. He doesn't understand.
The thing about Fedor is like he's obviously not on anything because he's got like a gut. Like he doesn't look cut at all.
He does not look like a fighter. He just looks like a dude, a big dude.
He's a demon, man. That dude's not... He's unbeatable.
The way he swings is so much force. It's so violent.
He hits people so hard, man. He hits people like a truck when they go down when he gets them. Combat Sambo, buddy. Combat Sambo.
No, I'd rather slapbox.
Slapbox.
Jason Miller's the man. He's going to be my new fighter. Him and the deaf guy.
Matt Hamill.
Yeah. He got jobbed in the
He did. He knocked that one dude out at UFC, like, 98. Like, he knocked that dude's head off.
Was he an Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah.
Did he win?
He was on the team. No. He was the runner-up.
Oh, okay. So he lost in the championship.
Yeah, he was on the Tito Ortiz season when Tito Ortiz did it with Ken Shamrock.
Okay. So they have different coaches each year?
Yeah. But they've had some people have coached, like, twice. Like,
okay.
Next Ultimate Fighter, they haven't said it's going to be.
When's that going to start up? Next spring?
Next spring is when they...
So how does it work? Like, they just get dudes that are untapped, or do they...
They just find guys that are, like, outside the UFC, and then they bring them in. Like, okay. It's like they just find guys that are, like, on the precipice of becoming... But some of those guys they get in the house just suck really Kimbo. Bad. They're going to make a lot of money off Kimbo when Houston Alexander punches his head off.
Well, you think they'll ever put Kimbo in a regular UFC?
Yeah, he's gonna be on UFC the fight night thing for the finale of the Ultimate Fighter. He's fighting Houston Alexander at catchweight at 215.
Okay, so put your money on Houston Alexander.
Yeah, do not bet on Kimbo.
Unless Kimbo catches him standing up.
I know he looks scary, but he is not a very good MMA fighter.
You get him on the ground, he's done.
Wouldn't want to fight him in the streets.
There's no rules in the streets.
Him and the dude from Reality Kings hanging out.
Hey, man, in the VIP.
In the VIP.
They did this one thing.
It's called like Money Talks, and they'll pay people. And this guy gets, it's on YouTube, this guy gets tackled by Kimbo. It's fantastic. Like, he's like, you gotta run here, and then Kimbo runs full speed and just, like, slams into him and tackles him. It's great. He gave him, like, $100 for it. Ugh.
Miami's the scariest place in the
world.
Yes,
it is.
Never go to Miami.
Nah, I don't want to, there's, like, nice parts of Miami, but, man, cross that bridge. The real Miami, like Rick Ross talks about.
It's kind of like when they're talking about Pittsburgh. You're like, oh, man, they got Pitt's campus that's, you know, between 5th and Forbes. And you're driving like, this doesn't look like 5th and Forbes to me. Like, oh, I'm in Uptown. Oops. All right, folks. So we'll catch you back again next week after we beat Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And it will be a good time talking about how the Irish have lost. The Irish
Don't even get me started on that.
Can't have good coaching.
Don't get me started on that. I hate that one in the world.
It's just a shame that NBC isn't broadcasting the game because that way the announcers can't, you know, say, I'll tell you what, man, Pitt's taking them to the shed, but this is a moral victory for Notre Dame. I mean, everybody gives up 500 yards
passing. Yeah, give Jimmy Clausen the Heisman now. I love when people say stuff like, well, he's obviously the best player in the nation.
Man. Absolutely. I mean, he threw for 400 yards against Pitt, who has the best secondary in the world. All right, folks. For Jason Jones, this is DPJ. We'll catch you next time after the Notre Dame game.
Bye-bye.